Hey, fearless fundraisers, I'm Dawn Lego, and it's time to buckle up for a new episode of Raise Nation Radio, the one and only podcast made to inspire fundraisers like you to continue making impact in our communities and building better tomorrows and exchanging ideas. So whether you're a trailblazer or seasoned pro, you'll pick up the trends that transform your fundraising. And together, we'll dive into lively conversations, and we're going to chat with industry-leading fundraisers and thought leaders, and we'll explore all those hot-button issues and innovative ideas. So stay with us for the next 30 minutes while we inspire you to embrace the future of fundraising. All right, let's get going. This is going to be a very special episode. We're coming up on some, special holidays where we take a moment to remember all the veterans in our lives, in our world. And we have a very special mission that supports veterans. So I'm so excited to welcome to Raise Nation Radio, Steve Cole. He is the Vice President of Development, not an easy job at all, but he's with the Veterans Bridge Home. And I had the opportunity, I stumbled on one of their fundraisers recently, doing pretty impressive work, but we're gonna talk all about that, get to know Steve, get to know the mission, and so much more. But first, let's do a warm welcome. Steve, welcome to Raise Nation Radio. It's so good to have you here.
Same, Dawn. Thank you for having us. Me and the Veterans Bridge Home, story onto the program.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear about it. I know a little bit about you, but certainly not enough. But let's start right there. Why don't you introduce yourself? Because a title, a title's a title. We want to know Steve Cole. Our audience wants to know you. How'd you come to Veterans Bridge Home? What do you do there? I mean, I guess you can kind of guess with Vice President of Development, but how did you get there? What do you want to share personally? We just want to get to know you. So you take it away.
Thanks. Well, so I served in the Army for 20 years.
Got to pause there. Thank you for your service. I just want to make sure that we're giving that gratitude.
I appreciate it. The good news is it was what I always wanted to do. So I thank you and everybody else who paid their taxes and allowed me to serve in the greatest military in the history of the world. I was able to be an armor officer, teach history at the military academy, and then became a public relations officer for the Army in the last 7 years of my 20 years of service. I never thought I was going to do 5 years and get out. And then I just kept getting great
five
opportunities.
Times four.
Yeah, right. Never say never, right? I'll never stay in. So I eventually retired in 2015. I grew up in Charlotte. And so our family decided, well, if we're going to start over in life, new career, then let's start over where we have some roots. So moved back here to Charlotte and actually met the gentleman who is now our executive director. He was just a teammate at the time, Blake Bourne. At the repeated insistence of a friend and classmate who said, oh, you should meet this guy, Blake Bourne. He's at Veterans Bridge Home. And I was like, I don't need any do-gooders or social workers helping me. I just need a job and I need to, get out of my way. Let me take care of my family like I've done, since I graduated from college. And she was like, no, you should meet him. You'll like him. And so we sat down and had coffee. And I was really drawn to the mission of Veterans Bridge Home, because they didn't feel sorry for me. They just said, look, transition from the military to a civilian career back to the civilian world is difficult and you don't have to do it alone. And we're here to help you. And so I, became friends with a lot of the teammates here. I eventually found work in Charlotte as a director of communications for the local business improvement district. And at the same time, Blake was like, we ought to have you on our board. I was like, I was still looking for a job. I'm like, I need a job, and then I'll volunteer for you. So got a job and then served on the board. So Veterans Bridge Home both, helped me in my career transition. And then I volunteered with them. And then 6 years ago, I joined the team in a role that actually was probably more expansive than this one, but we were a small team of about 13 people. Once we finish our current round of hiring, we'll be 41. So I was all in one, the communications, community engagement, and philanthropy, development person with one development teammate back in April of 2018. So I told him when he hired me, I was like, look, I've done community engagement work. I've done communications work. I've never raised a dollar in my life. And so here we are, 6 years on. We raised $4.2 million last year. We raised $1 million on Saturday night at a big event. So, and, you know, I didn't do that. You know, we did that, but the team did the work, you know, paves the way for the fundraising. But we've been on a real rocket ship growth trajectory, even through the ups and downs of COVID.
Wow. Wow. There's a recurring theme, I think, in your the work that you do. You know, I'm going to be in the Army 5 years. That turned into 20. I've never raised a dollar in my life. That turned into a million. I'm just looking for a job. That turned into a career. Seems like things multiply for you. So we cannot take a lot of inspiration for that. Fascinating story. And again, so grateful for your service and all of the military, you know, that's out there that protects our freedom and keeps us safe. And we couldn't be more grateful. And it's interesting, the mission of Veterans Bridge Home, the parallel to, you know, the bridges that it, that it created for you as well. Know, that didn't go unnoticed. But let's talk about Veterans Bridge Home, because it's niche, I think. And I love the mission, but I would rather hear it from you and our audience could hear it from you. So let's talk about that, its mission, its story, and how it came to be.
Absolutely. So the mission of Veterans Bridge Home is to connect, lead, and advocate in communities so that service members, veterans, and their families continue to thrive after their military service is complete. So what does that mean? We're what's known in the nonprofit world as a collective impact organization. When we were founded back in 2011, the community did a study and they said, what is the problem with veterans? Why are they having trouble with transition, be it homelessness or suicide or employment? And what the study found was that unemployment and connection to services were the two things that veterans were really struggling with the most. Now what you find, if you look at veterans unemployment, it actually is lower than non-veteran unemployment. And that's because our country and our communities have really seized on, like, you know, these are capable young men and women who are getting out of the military. They don't fit in, obviously, in some of these roles, but if you give them the skills that you need for your particular job, then they're going to succeed. And so I think as a country, we've kind of figured that out. And it doesn't hurt that unemployment is historically low right now too, right? So that doesn't hurt. But the thing that continues to be a struggle for veterans, particularly in urban areas, is not that there aren't things for veterans. It's that if I don't know they exist, then effectively they don't exist for me and my family. So instead of creating another fill in the blank service for veterans only, like a veteran food bank, what if we just had the food bank ask, are you a veteran? Because there's other programs that can support veterans that the food bank doesn't do, but at least if somebody knew there was a veteran who was needing food, that probably means they don't have a great job, probably means their housing is insecure, probably means that they're not taking full advantage of some of the Veterans Administration benefits they have out there. And so our job is to think about the family, the individual, as a system of needs, and to piece together solutions to all those things so that, you know, if I just got a job, but I didn't have a place to live, I probably wouldn't have my job for very long. If I just had a place to live, but didn't have a job, you know, you see where this is going. So what we know about veterans that we serve is that each veteran that we meet needs at least two or three things when we first meet them. And if we don't address them all, and they could happen sequentially or they could happen serially, like you address them all at once if that works, but sometimes you have to, you know, have a safe place to live and then look for a job and then, you know, on down the line. But our work is not to deliver the individual service necessarily, but to understand what the services that those families qualify for and make sure they get the right service for the right veteran in the least amount of time. And if you can do that, you untap that ability that veterans have. And they were all successful. Well, let me back up. If you were successful in the military, you should be successful outside of the military. If you're unsuccessful in the military, you're probably going to have troubles, and we'll help those people too. But for the most part, people who served honorably, did their time, got out, they just, like me, just get out of my way. Give me a job and let me prove myself. And so our job is to get them to that bridge to that success as fast as possible.
And it doesn't matter. We're talking about any veteran, any type of service, right? I mean, it's not exclusive to if you're in the front line or it's any veteran. Is that
right? That's true. And because we work through the community, there's really no veteran. As long as there's a program out there, we can serve any veteran. But you don't have to be a combat veteran. You don't have to be a post 9/11 veteran. You don't have to be a wounded veteran or a disabled veteran. You know, for the most part, the state of North Carolina has about 700,000 veterans. South Carolina has about 300,000 veterans. This is a rough ballpark numbers, but a million veterans between the two places. The vast majority of them don't need any, but could give back. They could. It's possible that they need, you know, social capital. They want to, their job takes care of their income. It takes care of their health care, but it may not take care of your friend group, may not take care of that service itch that you could scratch in the military. You know, when I served in the Army, I woke up in the morning and I worked out with people who then I worked with, who then I hung out with. Like my whole life was around the unit that I served in. And when you get out, you know, your friend group might be different than your work group, might be different than your workout group. And that's okay. But if you're not filling those buckets, then you may have, you may feel like something a little incomplete. So the veteran that works at Bank of America here in Charlotte may not really need anything, but might want to give back, might want to help that fellow veteran who was in their, you know, who they were in the same shoes of, you know, years past.
It's really creating a community in the purest sense of the word.
Right.
Yeah, I love that. My dad's a veteran. He was in the Air Force.
All right.
And he was injured in the line of duty. And so he has neuropathy. And I asked him the other day, you know, he's kind of not doing great. I'm not doing bad, but not doing great. I don't want anybody out there reaching out. My dad's fine. But, you know, it's a tough life to deal with neuropathy. And I asked him, I'm like, I wonder, Dad, if like the veteran, you know, hospital, if there's any care there. And he looked at me completely puzzled. Like, I never thought about that. I don't know. I have no idea if there aren't, who I could lean on. I just have no idea. And I don't know why I thought of it, but it's interesting. I wonder how many veterans are out there that just feel either alone, isolated, or they just don't know. So if you are out there, please don't feel that way. Yeah. Rely on the people around you and organizations like Veterans Bridge Home. And yeah, let's build those communities because we're strength in those numbers. So I really love this mission. I'm dying to know more. And I think my next question is, fill in the blank for me on the word bridge. So I get the why and I get the what, but can we talk about the how? What's the programming? How do you do it? How do you connect these dots?
Pre-2015, I'd have told you it was a Rolodex, which nobody even knows what that is anymore. Emails and phone calls. Understanding what the community had to offer. So, you know, our team should be expert in their community. So we have teammates in just across the border in South Carolina, in the Charlotte metro area, in the Greensboro-Winston-Salem High Point area, in the Raleigh-Durham area, in the Fayetteville, Stan Hills, Fort Liberty area. So teammates all there, and they should, you know who does the best work in the community, who's going to pick up the phone if I give them a call, and what's, you know, I know their name. I know what they do. I know the qualifications of the programs that they have, because there are programs that are specific to women veterans or elderly veterans or post 9/11 veterans or whatever. So they understand those things. And early days that was done with, you know, in your head and on the phone and via email. 2015, Syracuse University and the Walmart Foundation said, hey, you guys are doing some interesting work. We piloted some software in New York City. We think you could benefit from it. So Syracuse University's Institute for Veteran and Military Families said, we're going to give you some software, and we're going to, in a HIPAA and PII compliant way, you can see Steve Cole. You can see that he's an honorably discharged Army veteran, two kids, a spouse, lives in Charlotte looking for work. And then they can, our team can connect, send my information to a job readiness organization or multiple job readiness organizations. They can respond to me, hey, Steve, here. And the conversation starts at, I already know that you've got a honorably discharged, you got this, you've got a college degree, you've got all these things. And so what do you want to do? The conversation starts at, what do you want to do? Because we already know the backstory. You don't need to explain yourself. We're with you. And you can do that with every human service provider in housing, healthcare, employment, education, benefits, and social enrichment across the community. So now Steve Cole, if he shows up and says, yeah, I need a job. I also never used my VA benefit, like your dad never used my VA healthcare benefit, never signed up for VA disability. Great. Those are three things. We can help you with all those things. And we can do it in a digital way that allows every provider with the need to know, right? So health records and mental health records aren't viewable by the employment person, but they are viewable by a healthcare professional. They can see, you know, what I've gotten, how it worked, what I need next, right? So they can see, oh, Steve's doing great. He needed these things, like the acuity of need is getting less and his success is getting higher, but he's still like, he's looking for friends. He's looking for a place to work out, whatever. And so we piloted that in Charlotte. The state said, great, we need to do this in the mountains and Charlotte and the capital region and Fayetteville and down in the coast, Fort Jacksonville, Camp Lejeune. And up until about 2020, the state was using this system for all veterans across all these major markets, regions of the state of North Carolina. In 2020, they said, you know, this is Department of Health and Human Services. So this is working so well for veterans and their families. Why don't we use it for all North Carolinians? So now NC Care 360 is the same system applied to anybody with a health and human service need. The state pays for the licenses for that computer software. Because what it's doing is it's allowing nonprofit and government programs to collaborate to solve issues for shared clients. So that now we know, oh, Steve's being helped by five people and isn't that great? Instead of like, I love Steve and his family so much that I'm not going to let Dawn's group help him. I'm going to give him C plus service in something I don't do well when A plus service exists, right?
Yeah, so wow.
What we want is to harness the whole community, get the services as close to the local as possible, but leverage all of those resources to help that family be successful. And it's really been kind of a game changer for the state of North Carolina. There's
good collaboration, boy.
Totally.
I mean, thinking out of the box and saying, you know, not being so proprietary about things and like it all for the greater good, right?
Teamwork,
like, let's get out of our own way.
Very military way of approaching things. You know, you never did anything by yourself in the military. Like, unless you were, you know, in Hollywood, you know, soldier, like you were always part of a team. The team, you know, infantry needs
live and die for the team.
Right. So, yeah, it's a great system. It's not perfect, right? It's a system. So people in North Carolina, oh, I know about NC Care 360. Well, it's a system and it has its flaws, but for some folks, it's another system. So for some, it's multiple entries, but the beauty of that system is the shared consciousness. And so, you know, technology is flawed, but it's getting better all the time. And I think what we have is a state leadership that cares about solving the problems and nonprofit leadership who understand, like, if we want the best for the people that we serve in common, we need to work together.
Yeah. Wow. I'm so impressed. So now how do you replicate that throughout the country?
Yeah. I mean, so that system is being used by some communities. There are others out there. And so, you know, there's nothing magic about the system necessarily, the technology. What is magic is understanding how your communities work, because Charlotte's different than Raleigh, is different than Richmond, is different than Columbia, South Carolina, right? Each community is different. They have their strengths and weaknesses. So I think the secret sauce and this, you know, across the country, the success is, do you want to work together? Do you have some kind of technology that allows you to see, you know, the common shared client? And do you want to work a little bit harder, right? If we care about the people we serve, we got to, Lord knows, nonprofit professionals are overworked and underpaid and understaffed. And you know, busy, but, you know, we get into this work because we want to change lives. And so that's, you know, I think for communities outside of North Carolina, and those that are sort of adjacent to North Carolina, you know, we can help. We can help. We can tell you what we can never be, you know, Kansas City, Missouri, right? We're not, the people in Kansas City, Missouri are going to have to, you know, think about, okay, so we could use this and we'd have to put our special, you know, special spin on it.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Okay. So you're setting the standard. I love that for the whole country to follow suit, but let's come back to the local conversation. Yep. How did you scale? You know what? I'm sure there's a lot of people listening to your story, when you started, where the organization was, where it is now, what the trajectory is looking like. And they're like, whew, how do I get there? How do I scale? So we have lots of listeners, Steve. Help them out, because we said we're going to be collaborative. Let's help them out and give them that inspiration. How do you scale and get to that spot?
It was a lot harder than we thought, I think. In 2020, there were a couple nonprofits that were doing this work in the state. We were serving just the Charlotte metro area. The Mecklenburg County is where Charlotte is, and the 13 surrounding county. A couple organizations just realized that this was work that they didn't really ladder up to their overall mission. They were getting grant funding for it, but a grant wasn't covering the work, and they really weren't built to do it. So the state said, hey, would you... our friends in Asheville, would you take the coast and Veterans Bridge Home, would you take this, what they call in North Carolina, the Piedmont, so the sort of center part of the state where some of the larger urban areas are. And we said yes. And our board was kind of like, oh, are you sure? Like, well, if we don't, who will? Right. And so we kind of pushed our chips to the center of the table. Like, well, we think we can. And we hired many of the people that were from the organization that had left the work because they understood the work. We were doing it a little bit differently than we were. So we're like, this is how we do it. So there was a little bit of growing pain. We absorbed some of the money that they were using to do that work. And then we just kept pushing for, you know, hey, we, you know, this is worthy work. And we had, funders that were willing to come on board. The real growth, though, happened in, if this is 2024, in 2021, we were the recipient of a federal grant from the Veterans Administration. So we were part of a 3-year pilot program that has given communities up to $750,000 a year to do work to counter veteran suicide. And you might say, well, we didn't really talk about suicide with veterans much in this conversation. But what we know about veteran suicide is it actually doesn't track all that closely to combat. In fact, there's a reverse correlation. Service members who served in combat tend to have stronger relationships with their peers and have more to live for. Service members who get out and didn't have that really close relationship with their friends in the service may feel more lost when they get out. Veteran suicide closely correlates with a loss of mission, purpose, and, you know, a network. So if you don't have a job, you don't have a safe place to live, if you don't have healthcare, if you don't have friends, all of those things are risk factors for suicide. And so Veterans Bridge Home, by providing employment opportunities, friend, housing support, benefits navigation, we are building the supports that keep someone away from even becoming suicidal or thinking that suicide is a viable course of action.
It shouldn't ever be an option.
Right. And unfortunately, you know, there's a lot of people out there who are suffering in silence and don't know that they're the only one who feel that way, or they just feel hopeless because they don't know where to turn.
Yeah, because if you don't have that connection in the community, you really do think it's all just you.
Just me, right?
Yeah.
So this is our third year of, well, we just applied, so hopefully we'll get the third round of funding, but that allowed us, right? Thank you. That funding allowed us to expand our staff in those markets. So every community now has a network director. That person works closely with the health and human service providers, but be they government or nonprofit that provide services to veterans. We have a community coordinator. That person works closely with the veterans who they meet at VFW meetings, at American Legion meetings, at Team Red, White, and Blue fitness event, at churches, you know, wherever veterans are, as I say, running free and open in the wild, like they're supposed to be there. And they're supposed to find veterans and not sell them, but just say, look, if you're not connected to the VA for your healthcare, like, we can help you with that. If you don't have a place where you can go work out and meet your friends, we can help with that. So that's what that person does. And then we have a team of intake folks and a team of care coordinators. So intake, talk to a veteran, find out what they need, sort of understand how acute their needs are. We've got clinical social workers and licensed therapists who can take the most acute. And we've got people that can just, great, we're going to connect you to our newsletter. We're going to invite you some things and for, you know, we're going to plug you into this veteran community.
Meet them where they are.
And people all in the middle too, for our care coordinators. So yes, that's how, I mean, federal funding, but boy, federal funding has been hard, right? I mean, those of you out there who have received federal grant, like, I think understandably it, we're spending taxpayer money, right? So we need to, you need to account for it. You need to make sure you're spending our money in a way that achieves results. And so we weren't ready for that until we got it. We had been a sub on a federal grant, but we were not the primary. We worked with Catholic Charities, Diocese of Charlotte, in a federal housing program for veterans. We found the veterans. They worked with landlords. They did the case coordination. They did all the paperwork. So that was our little baby step towards federal funding. We have kind of braided funding though. Like, we have some county funding, we have some state funding, we have some federal funding, and that's probably 40% of our annual income, and the rest comes from the usual suspects, right? Foundations, corporate, and individual giving.
Yeah. Okay. So a lot there to scale your organization, but I still am hearing that community is your strength to all things. It sounds like that's really how you're layering, you know, the growth. But I want to segue a little bit into what else you need and how else you scale. And so that brings us to the topic of fundraising.
Sure.
How was the 2024 Star Spangled Salute? I think that took place on May 18th. Tell us about that.
I joined this call. We're still crunching numbers. We're still writing thank you notes and all the things, right?
It's fresh off the presses.
Totally fresh. Yeah. We did this event the first time in 2018. So we had been a 501c3. We were really started in 11. I think we received our 501c3 status late that year. So 7 years later, we threw a first big fundraising gala, right? Black tie event. And we raised a little south of $500,000. We've always kept our costs between 20 to 30 cents to raise a dollar, which has been pretty good.
Okay, there we go. There's a good stat. 20 to 30 cents to raise a dollar.
So
I want to underscore that.
Ideally, we'd be 20 to 25 cents, right? Last year, we were at 24. So, and we'll see. The bills are still coming in. The revenue is still coming in. So we'll see. But I think we're on track for something like that, which is important because, you know, the point of the exercise wasn't to throw a great party. It was a great party, but it's supposed to raise money and raise awareness in the community. That event is largely corporate driven. So corporate table sponsorships.
Big names like Lowe's and Bank of America and Coca-Cola, right? You had some pretty big
USAA.
Names.
So we've got, Charlotte is like a lot of bigger cities. We're lucky that we have some great corporate sponsors and corporate partners, and veterans and the military may not always be their top cause, but it's probably never going to be not one of their causes. So we are, in many ways, we are fortunate because America really does love its military, and it, and they show it in events like this. So we walked into the day, the 18th with $600,000 in the bank. So we,
nice. Good job. Congratulations.
So that was, yeah. Thanks. So that was nice. But then our goal was $1 million. So we were like, okay, so we're going to have to, now we had, you know, the last quarter and a half to raise that sponsorship money. Now we've got 4 hours to raise, you know, almost that much money.
Clock is ticking.
Right. Right.
So what'd you have? You had a silent, you had a live, you were selling baseball caps, but $25 baseball caps is not going to get you to the million.
No,
so are you about to tell us how we got there?
So, right. So we hired a professional auctioneer. We've used him, Dan Lyle, for the last.
Shout out to Dan. Who is that?
Dan Lyle. And I'll make sure we've got his business card, because he's worth it. You can't have him on May 17th, 2025, because he's ours.
Okay. His dance card's full on May 17th, 2025.
But otherwise, you're welcome to him. And he's great. What I've really appreciated about Dan and a professional auctioneer is that he is not afraid to give his opinion about, you know, how he thinks things should work. DanLylesAuctions.com, L-Y-L-E-S, Lyle, Dan.
Thank
Lyles,
you.
All one word. He's not afraid to give his opinion. Like, hey, I think you should do this. I think you should, you know, don't have more than 8 live auction items. Don't use the $50,000 challenge pledge until we get to the paddle raise at $1,000. So his willingness to be an expert in the things that he's expert in is what I think I appreciate most about him. So I got a little bit ahead of myself, but the event is a cocktail hour, a welcome from a local media person. This year was Sarah Blake Morgan. She's she was an AP reporter, a local CBS affiliate reporter who at the age of 31 decided that she wasn't doing enough with her life and joined the Army. So she's the first lieutenant in the Army. She's great. So she was our MC. We had, you know, military function. You had to present the colors. You have to sing the national anthem. We had a Vietnam veteran artilleryman turned man of the cloth give our invocation. And then we broke for dinner. We came back out of dinner and we had our guest speakers, General Jim Amos and his wife, Bonnie. General Amos was the 35th Commandant of the Marine Corps. And he and Bonnie talked about their 42 years of time in the Marine Corps. You know, you don't serve, if you're married in the military, your spouse serves along with you. They just don't get paid. So it was really great to hear their stories of service, a lifetime of service to the country. And then we went right into an auction, right? So we had a silent auction before, and we went into a live auction with 8 items. And then at the end of the live auction, we're like, well, you know, if you didn't win your silent auction, you weren't in on the live auction. What if we, you know, let's warm up those wallets and give. So we started our paddle raise, you know, who wants to give at, you know, various
levels.
That's
interesting. So you did the paddle raise after the live and the silent. So if all was lost there or not given there, they had an opportunity to still contribute.
And you know, depending on what your room looked like, right? You know, again, Dan's advice. This is I've never raised a dollar in my life, so I'm willing to take advice. You know, I know what I don't know. Yeah. We started at 10, and we went to 5, and then we went to 2,500 and 1,000, and then we went to 500, 250, and 100, right? And so everybody, basically what Dan said during the paddle race is everybody has the ability to give something.
Like, nice,
If it's $100, then give $100. We had an open bar. We had great plated dinner. Like, it was, you know,
nicely done.
Just, you know, if you enjoyed that second glass of wine at dinner, like, maybe you've got $100 gift, right? So it was good. We had great participation. And
drum roll. Yeah. Where are you at? I know you're still doing your final tally, but where are you at?
Yeah, let's see. So,
we're getting some reports out here.
Yeah, right. Here we go. Let me see. So we are, we're at $1,014,310. So,
congratulations.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was great. We, you know, we, our goal was a million. What we put in the budget was about 800,000. So not only did we hit our number, but we exceeded our budget, which is good because, you know, someplace, somewhere, we're going to miss a grant somewhere, right? We're going to not get something that we were counting on. So it's nice to have a little bit of margin.
So let's talk about the things that helped you with this fundraiser, namely your tech stack. How did that work for you? Was it new first year? What do you think about technology and the blend of technology with your event to bring it all to life?
Yeah, absolutely. We used One Cause this year, and we've used them for the last 2 years. We had a different service in the past. I think what really sold us on One Cause was the seating function is really good.
I hear a lot of good things about the table management. Yeah.
Yeah. Table management was a real difference maker there. But, you know, we were able to sell these hats, right, as a fixed price thing. We had a raffle for if you couldn't afford, you know, a single ticket, we offered an opportunity to raffle off for $50 the chance to take you and a guest to the event. We had, you know, the functionality of having silent auctions and live auction. The silent auction is handled completely by One Cause. The live auction, we did it as a live auction, which you can do in the system, but you don't get the beauty of auctioneer, right? Which is, there's a little bit of a cost there, but he also generated a lot of excitement there. Ticketing, check-in, the messaging to your guests before and afterward, you know, the ability to frankly not lose money when somebody lifts their paddle at an event and then, you know, doesn't pay, which happened a few years ago with wrong paddle or buyer's remorse or whatever, like, you know, forcing everybody to give phone numbers, emails, and put a credit card down meant that we collected all as of the day after we were $30,000 short of that number that I just gave you. Like, we had almost all of it in the bank, which is great. But, you know, losing money that was pledged, you're counting on, like, we thought we made a million, but whoa, we're really at, you know, whatever. It's kind of brutal. So,
I'm glad it was a good experience and helped drive your planning.
Totally. Yeah. And I don't know. We had two One Cause teammates who showed up at our event, helped with check-in, helped with the spotting of numbers and entering in the paddle numbers and the bid, the amount. So that was great. I mean, we had our own volunteers out there in the audience, but having the two One Cause employees in the room,
we're in it together,
was really great. And we've used them the last 2 years, and they've been, one of the women that was there before, and, you know, they're just real pros and work well with volunteers who, like, are clueless when they show up. It really worked great.
It takes a village. It takes the organization, the corporate sponsors, your tech provider, your volunteers, your board member, everybody working together. And we're honored to play just such a small role in, you know, contributing to your success. I'm glad it was a successful event.
Oh, yeah.
I circulated your site because I caught it. We kind of rotate on the marketing team to watch social, see what people are doing out there. And I was like, oh, I'm talking to them on Raise Nation Radio. Yeah. And so I did circulate your site internally. You know, I hope you can feel our spirit and our cheer. Because first and foremost, you know, while we are a SaaS company, we're people first. And we're behind you 100% and applaud what you do. I kind of want to wrap up with an important question that I want our audience to hear. Whoever's listening, what do you need? Where are you? Like, you know, if we're inspired, I'm inspired, right? If people are inspired to do anything and contribute in any way, what do you need? And we're going to get this all in the show notes, right? If it's okay with you, we're going to put your donate site. We're going to put all about you. It's all going to go on show notes, but what do you need? We want to know.
Right. So as the vice president of development, I, you know, unabashedly would say money helped, right? No margin.
I would be disappointed if you didn't say that. So good for you.
Right. So veteransbridgehome.org/donate. You can go to our page. You can make a contribution there. Every dollar matters. So no gift. We raised $1 million, but we were expecting to do that. So your gift, recurring gift of $20 matters. So that's one. Two, the nonprofit world worked by, we help other people and get paid by someone else, right? So I help you and someone else pays for your help through me. So knowing veterans and telling them about us is very important. Because just like I said, if you don't know a service exists, it effectively doesn't exist. People don't know about Veterans Bridge Home, then we can't help them. So if you are a veteran, and even if you don't live in the Carolinas, we want to help all of our veteran brothers and sisters out there and their families. And we've got connections to other communities, and we'll do our best to make sure that veterans get navigated to what they need. But so if you're out there and you're in the Carolinas and you run across a veteran and they don't know what to do, send them our way. And we'd be happy to help them. It's our job to do it. So those are the two things. Money always helps, but also, veteran people that need our work.
Yeah, beautiful. Well, we applaud what you do. Thank you just for everything that's veteran focused in your world, in your service. And we wish you the best of luck. We're rooting. You have a whole One Cause Nation, right? Rooting for you. So we hope this podcast episode helps as well. And we're going to get all of those links that you mentioned in the show notes. And hopefully we'll get you a little bit more support. But Fearless Fundraisers, that's all about all the time we have for today. We thank you for listening. And we do hope you were inspired and you enjoyed Steve Cole's journey with Veteran Bridge Home. Tune in for a new episode release every Thursday at 12:30 p.m. That's Thursdays, 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time for new releases. But in the meantime, listen to all the episodes on Raised Nation Radio. We do stream in 10 different places on YouTube, on onecause.com. So just follow us wherever it's easiest or what's your favorite. And then you can get notifications about all our new guests. And if you're a fundraiser and you're doing amazing things, just like Steve and Veterans Bridge Home, please come on the show. We'd love to cast a little spotlight on your mission. I would like to thank our sponsor, One Cause, for making this episode possible. One Cause is driving the future of fundraising with easy-to-use digital fundraising solutions that help nonprofits connect with donors. Check it out, onecause.com. And please visit our resource tab on the homepage. There's a broad catalog of content, and hopefully you'll find it helpful. A huge shout out and gratitude once again, and thanks to my guest, Steve Cole, Vice President of Veterans Bridge Home, for sharing just a beautiful story and journey and inspiration to grow and scale and be collaborative and do more and give more. It's just been a pleasure in every way. I enjoyed our conversation, Steve, but I have to ask you, any last words of inspiration?
Dawn, the thing I would say is veterans were doing great things when they were in the service, and you should expect great things of them outside of the service. They just need an opportunity to demonstrate what they can do.
Great. We'll keep that in mind. And as a daughter of a veteran, I very much appreciate that advice. Thank you again so much, Steve, for joining the show today. I know you're super busy and haven't yet recovered from the event, but it was generous of you to give up your time this way.
Thanks, Dawn.
That is a wrap. Until next time, I'm Dawn Lego. This is Raise Nation Radio. You stay fearless out there.